So my sermon message today, the title is, Lost Time is Never Found Again. Have you ever heard that phrase, lost time is never found again? I actually heard this phrase on a movie that Charlotte and I were watching a while back, and it just sort of stuck in my head thinking about it. Because a phrase like that makes you start thinking about your life, quickly rehearsing your life in areas of your life that you possibly recognize as lost time and truly is never found again. That time has passed. I personally don't like to think about lost time, especially now that I'm retired. But during work, in the 43 years that I worked, there were many moments, some of which were not in my control, that you could accumulate to a lost time category. But I'm noticing as I age, as we age, and again, I'm talking about my situation here, I can look back over my past, and I can remember those times that could be considered lost time with God, or lost time with family, or with my years at work, certain times of lost time, my schooling, no matter from the first grade up through college, and just life in general, everyday life, either from not being consistent, not being thoughtful, of having a plan of what you're going to do a particular day. But these are areas that, especially now, we're 3 days before a new year. We're at the end of a calendar year. And I know we talk about during coming up to Passover about examining ourselves. From my financial background, I had year-end closing, whether it was a calendar year, whether it was a fiscal year. That prompted us as accountants to start focusing in on the year past to reconcile and be audited on. But I saw a message from Peter Eddington some years ago, probably 11, 12 years ago. And he mentioned a term, a stop doing list. Because in my field of work, I would do a to-do list. And occasionally I still do a to-do list. You know, especially when you carry one of these little things around as a to-do reminder. Because I've learned that if I don't write it down, it's as good as gone. But a stop doing list and applying these lists in our spiritual life with God, Jesus Christ, our studies, our prayers, prepping for a message, all of these areas of our life that we're involved with. These lists nowadays in my retirement years is mainly groceries, things to do around the house, or in the house, church-related items that we have assignments to, our vehicles, you name it, you have your own list that you're probably thinking of right now. But when our lives get too filled up, as I've used a word before, cluttered, when our life gets too cluttered, a lot of our important priorities tend to go by the wayside. They're sort of left behind. Or in this case, it's lost because you didn't get to it. Benjamin Franklin was known to quote this phrase, lost time is never found again. And what we call time enough always proves little enough. You know, for us in our spiritual walk with God, each of us have been given such a wonderful opportunity to be called and to have God's truth opened up to us by God. Our heart, our mind, our very soul is about God, and He has called us to that life Eventually, all of mankind will receive this information, will receive this news. They will have their time, but not now. And the numbers that Mr. Wendt brought up, the up in the thousand level of mailing these letters out to me, that's exciting. That is showing God is continually calling people out there. They're looking for information. They're looking for something in their life, whether through the Beyond program, the literature, whatever contact that has placed them in that position now. We're all a part of that. And we will continue to be a part of that if we stay the course that God has called us to. Because we are members of God's true church. Because our Father has personally reached out and invited us to that. He has called us to that. In John chapter 6, verse 44, as we know, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father," this is Christ speaking, "no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." It is extremely critical that we don't overlook this special calling. Because we only get one chance at becoming the sons and daughters of God. We cannot afford lost time in this area of our life. Because this is our life. We have accepted that. We have committed to God for that. We've accepted that calling. In 1 Peter 4, verse 17, the scriptures I'm reading from comes from the New King James Version. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" You've heard some people say, "Well, it's never too late. It's never too late." Well, but when does it come down to being too late? Because eventually there will be a final moment. So, theoretically, yeah, it can become too late. What does God's word say about this? Let's go to Revelations chapter 22. Revelations 22, let's read in verse 7. It says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And then from verses 10 through 13 of Revelations 22. Verses 10 through 13. Here's John speaking. "And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still.'" And again it says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Read to you a statement from a Henry Ehring, last name spelled E-Y-R-I-N-G, Henry Ehring. This is something that he stated. It says, "There is a danger in the word someday, when what it really means is not this day." Have you ever told yourself, I'll get to that someday? I'll get to that later. Continuing on, he states, the scriptures make the danger of delay clear. It is that we may discover that we have run out of time. Just as we were just talking about in the scriptures. The God who gives us each day as a treasure will require an accounting. We will weep. If we have intended to repent and to serve him in tomorrows, which never came, or have dreamt of yesterdays, where the opportunity to act was past. This day is a precious gift of God. The thought, someday I will, can be a thief of the opportunities of time and the blessings of eternity. It can steal that away from you. Someday I will. Mañana, tomorrow. King David spoke about in Psalm 39, verse 4. Psalm 39, verse 4. We read, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? How much we are in need of God's love and mercy, compassion. In Psalm 90, verse 12, Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You cannot gain that heart of wisdom by delaying someday or tomorrow. It needs to be now in our life. Each of us have the ability to approach our life giver, our Father, on a daily basis at any time of the day and to pour out our hearts to him. Isn't that such a wonderful thing? But if we don't continually take that opportunity, and it is a wonderful opportunity that God has given us, that Jesus Christ came here in order for us to be able to do that. He lived and died for us. You know, we could eventually be listed with those who won't make it into the kingdom. A very frightening thought. The Apostle Paul reminds us the mindset, our mindset of people in the last days. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 5. I'll actually start in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. It says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And then it talks about what people will be doing and thinking and how they will be acting. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And it continues on and on and on. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Skipping down to verse 5. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. We have to be very careful in our life. You know, many of us, or some of us, or whatever number of us, do you find yourself taking God's blessings for granted? Is that part of a lost time that's never found again each day? Do we just take it for granted? And if we do, they start to diminish because we're not focusing on where we should be focusing, not putting God first in our life. So we tend to realize that we didn't always take time to express our appreciation for many things. Even stating the appreciation of you making the effort to be here each Sabbath, praying for others, socializing and visiting with each other, staying close in contact with one another. You know, no matter our age, we can always make changes and turn more of our attention to God more and more each day and His instructions. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it talks about, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, we all have our weaknesses. We all have our faults. We all have our areas that we need to put on that stop doing list. Because we need to overcome. We need to improve. We need to be becoming better. That way, if we do focus on that, to stop doing areas that we're weak in and start growing and overcoming in areas that will keep us focused on God as we've been commanded. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." So we see, as these verses state, our spiritual growth. Remember when your family was growing up, the kids, you had your little measuring stick, you'd marked the height on the wall, or you did it somewhere, or somehow you kept measuring that growth. Well, our spiritual growth, we need to be measuring ourselves continually. Where are we at? Where have we been? Where we are now? Where we want to be tomorrow? Because we need to make sure that we're showing that appreciation. We're showing that love and that fervent desire to be with God the Father and Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Read to you another statement from a man, Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, Jim Rohn. He said, "Don't spend most of your time on the voices that don't count." I'm not saying that you have voices in your head. I'm just saying events in your life that you're dealing with that you know is not allowing you to grow. You're not following the way that you should be following. These are like voices that don't count. Voices that are going to add too little worth to your future. God has shown us our life, the road that we should be on. We need to pay attention to that. It says, "Don't waste time on the shallow and the silly." Do you still find yourself doing silly little things? Doesn't mean anything. Again, lost time. You need to tune all that out. You need to focus on those things that are going to add something to your life. Because it's up to you. I cannot add anything to your life. You need to add things that you're dealing with God, between you and God and Christ and yourself. Yes, we can talk, we can communicate, we can share, we can fellowship. But when it comes right down to it, it's between you and God. One-on-one. God is there. And again, as we think about our lives, we need to expand that thinking. And the promises that has been given to us, has been promised to us. Doesn't that make you feel extremely blessed and loved by our Father in heaven? Just to be able to understand God's plan of salvation for mankind. As of where we are now, to where we have been in the past, to where we will be in the future, and then what God has waiting on us for all eternity. Such a blessing. It's such a motivation for us to think about how we're living our lives. We've got to pay more attention. And if it takes a to-do list and a not-to-do or stop-doing list, so be it. Because our judge, our Father in heaven, our elder brother, they can clearly see our choices because they know our thoughts. They know us. You know, we have been invited to bear fruit and to grow in godly character at this time, the time that God has allowed us to be here. But again, not to lose that focus, not to become blurred, not to be out of focus, but to be focused of what has been set before us. To be very sons and daughters of God, living forever with God the Father and Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul reminds us that in Romans 11, verse 29. Romans 11, verse 29, we read, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable," meaning that the potential future is guaranteed only if we fulfill our commitment to God. It is up to us. God has called us. We've accepted. We've committed to that. Now it's up to us to see that with God's help to the end. But we must never forget that we are all prone, because we're human, we're still here, to making poor decisions and trying to do it ourselves, do it the way we want to do it, because we think it's better, it's shorter, it's faster, whatever the excuse. But God has invited us to His way of life, so we need to have that change in our thinking, to live a godly life and let that life shine to give honor and glory to the Father. Because if we don't, then what is your character going to show? Well, it's going to show that you're not really accepting what God has invited you for. You're not accepting God. You're not accepting Christ. Thus, you're not accepted in the kingdom of God. You have played a part in that. You're the one that has made those decisions, and we don't want to be making those type of decisions. We truly want to be a very part of God's family. And as we look around us in today's world, today's news, events, we know we're getting closer to those last days, getting closer to the time of Christ's return. In Matthew 24, 22, it tells us strictly that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Because we have in this world enough of the means to kill the humankind over many, many times. whether it's atomic, nuclear, biological, disease, whatever it may be, as shown in God's word about what will be occurring in the Great Tribulation. And of course, all of that related on Satan trying to destroy God's plan. We have to know that time is very important. Lost time, you have to pay attention to. You do not want that to be a daily part of your life in this world today, in God's calling today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You ask yourself, well, is it? Are we? Am I being renewed day by day? Our Creator God has given us a choice. He's given us that freedom to choose how we want to live. God's Word shows us that incredible future ahead of us that we want to be a part of, to be there as spirit beings, very part of God's family, teaching and training those that in the future will become the family of God as well, that are not being called at this time. For us to progress towards that godly, perfect way of living. I'm sure some of you remember Mr. Armstrong and what he used to say. Do you remember where he would say, brush the dust off your Bibles? It still applies today. Do we need to brush the dust off our Bible? Because God, our Father, loves to talk to His children. He loves to talk to us through His Word. So are we so busy or distracted that we barely get to having a conversation with our Father through His Word or through the prayers or through meditation or through fasting? In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, hopefully you don't consider your Bible as part of your clutter. Your Bible is a very important part of your life. It's God's Word. This should not be anywhere considered clutter. But in this world today, they don't consider this God's Word. They consider it just a bunch of fables and stories. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, you need to be in the word of truth in order to be rightly dividing that word and understanding it and growing in it. Just as we're doing today on God's weekly Sabbath, following God's commandment, being here, fellowshipping, not neglecting to be together. There's a story in the book of Luke, chapter 8, that shows a person that really desired, really wanted to be there, just as we should really desire and really want to be a very part of God's family. In Luke 8, in verse 43, at the beginning of Luke, it talks about, in verse 1 of Luke 8, it says, "And it came to pass afterward," because Christ had just returned from the taking a trip on the water, "that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." So you had, in verse 4 of Luke 8, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city," now it doesn't say what cities, but every city, he was speaking a parable to the group, but we're going to go over to quit jumbling up my notes here. We're going to verse 43. Here's this woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. In some verses or some messages, commentaries, it talks about a hemorrhage. But 12 years. So you can imagine what that would do to your body, your frailness, your mobility. It doesn't say what city she came from or how far she had to travel, but she was there. She had spent all of her money, all of her living in those 12 years upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any or by any, cured by them. But she came up behind Christ because he was being thronged as he walked through this town, this village, because he was, you know, prior verses, it shows that he was going with Jairus to heal his daughter, Jairus' daughter. But she was this frail lady, knowing that if she made it, as we read here, she came up behind him and touched the border of his garment. And it says, immediately her issue of blood was dried up. She was healed. She had had this for 12 years. In the prior verses, it talks about Jairus' daughter, that he wanted Christ to come and heal. She was 12 years old. This woman had this hemorrhage in her life for 12 years, the whole lifetime of Jairus' daughter. I just find that amazing, how that relationship of those years of the young lady and the woman. Amazing. Different aspects of Christ's healing. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Well, they all denied. They all denied. And Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throngs you." They're pressing against you. How could you tell? You know, who touched me? How can you tell? Well, Christ knew. He says, somebody has touched me, because he perceived that virtue had gone out of him. He felt the power. Well, the woman who had been healed, it says that she saw that she was not hidden. She saw that Christ knew something happened to him, and she came trembling and falling down before him. Whether she was trembling from being afraid or trembling from being from that physical condition that she was just healed of, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And Christ comforted her and said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace." How much more applying our fervency, our desire, our faith, our hope in what God has shown us, and how to apply that in today's life, in our life, in our life, of what God wants us to do. You know, of helping with this program, of mailing out those invitations. But who will be touched by that? It's all God's work. It's all God and His glory. But we are helpers. We are fellow brothers and sisters to help in that need. We know in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, you know, you could probably quote it by heart, of what God has set before us in our choices, and how well have we over the days and years, the months and years of our life, how well have we done? It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days. That choice, the right choice, that you may obey his voice, his words, our conversations with our Father, to obey his voice, that we cling to him, that father-son, that father-daughter relationship, that closeness, clinging to him. And that agape love that we have heard about, that God has opened up more understanding and more truth and the more depth, deepness of his word, especially with the agape love of God. God is everlasting. He is presenting that to us, to be everlasting with God. So it's so important, so drastically important in our life, of our decisions, in our understanding, that we need to take to a deeper level with God and his word. Because the world is falling apart all around us. We have a president being brought into office in the new year. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen up to that point, what's going to happen after that point. But we know we need to get closer to God, because the time is fast approaching. Fast approaching. And we don't need to be drifting. We don't want to be drifting in life. Because if we're drifting from God, guess who you're drifting towards? Satan. The world, which is opposed to God. We don't want to be drifting. So we know that now is the time for us to stand up and renew our commitment with him. Stand up on your knees before God. Some people say fall on your knees. Well, if you're standing, well, be on your knees as you're standing before God. Because our days are numbered. And with the little time that we have left, you know, let's seek God. Let's seek the truth more deeply with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Again, continuing to choose life, to use our time wisely. Again, move any resemblance of lost time out of our life. (Clears throat) person called Horace Mann, M-A-N-N, had a saying. It says, lost yesterday, somewhere between sunrise and sunset, were two golden hours, each set with 60 diamond minutes. Talking about lost time here. There was no reward is offered for those items because they're gone forever. So he related to lost time as, in this case, 2 hours. Each 60-minute segment was diamonds, related to diamonds. Well, how much more is our life that God is calling us to is worth? To God, Jesus Christ, and to us. It's more than diamonds, because we're talking eternity. We're talking about all of God's creation that we would be a part of. And we have to take courage. I mean, that's probably an old term, but be courageous in this life. Especially when people are going to be pushing back against you. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear your beliefs. This is what I think. This is more important than what God says. I don't even think there's a God, as they will phrase. Because Satan is out there stirring the mix and will continue. I mean, it doesn't say how long Satan waited, you know, when he was a created being. It doesn't say at what point after his creation that he rebelled against God, became the adversary. Well, Satan knows that he has a little bit of time left. Revelations 12:12. Revelations 12, it talks about Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Satan and his angels did not prevail. Verse 12, it says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Well, that's us. We inhabit the earth. Mankind and all of God's creation. Woe to the inhabitants of earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. And we're talking about the end, the last days, the end time. Verse 17, where the dragon was enraged with the woman, the church. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So Satan knows he has a short amount of time, but we see history in the Garden of Eden, what he did to Adam and Eve. Again, it doesn't say how long after Adam and Eve were created that this occurred. But Satan is there. Satan tries to destroy God's relationship, not only with his first human beings, Adam and Eve, but all of mankind. Well, God is not going to leave us. God is always there for us. We're the ones that have to stay close to God, to stay far away from Satan the devil. We do not want to remain sinning in our life. We need to keep working, focusing, improving, asking God to reveal areas in our life where we may not even know, where we're disobeying. Because we truly want to obey God's laws. We really want to be there to show our reverence and our willingness to follow God's guidelines. Because God's guidelines is life in itself. We need to continue inspecting, examining ourselves. You know, we're in that lull right now, the winter time, but the spring holy days will be here. We need to start thinking, growing, studying, meditating, talking to one another, especially on that stop doing list or the to-do list. Bring that up in your conversations amongst yourselves. To iron sharpens iron. What areas do you see that you need to stop doing? Well, that's interesting, because now I know I need to, you know, I can relate to that. I should put that on my list. Help one another. It's not a New Year's resolution. It's life that we're living. We want to live it God's way. And we need to help one another work through that. In Philippians 3, verse 4, I'm sorry, Philippians 3, verse 14. Philippians 3, verse 14, we're told to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Moving forward, not drifting, not stumbling backwards, but pressing forward to the mark, to the goal. Because that's what we need to be pressing toward in our life each day. Because our ultimate goal, if you're into goal setting, our ultimate goal is to follow God's call and to make sure it's first in our life. We need to buckle down. We need to show God that we're serious. When we committed, when God called us and we made that commitment, we need to fulfill that commitment, that long-term commitment. So this coming week, think about lost time is never found again. See how you can weed that out of your life. Think about stop doing list or to-do list. Think about praying, continually praying for one another, praying for those that are in need of healing and comfort. Because Mason Cooley, it was interesting where he was talking about time himself. He said, regret for wasted time is more wasted time. Makes sense. I mean, if you're just going to sit there and worry, oh, woe is me, regretting what has passed, well, you're still wasting time and you're not accomplishing anything in your life. So hopefully this has maybe brought up a few things in your mind, your heart, that you need to think about, meditate on, go to God about. Because time is fast approaching. And we are so appreciative of Mr. Wendt and Belinda on their guiding us, directing us, overseeing the three areas. He's got a lot on his plate. Definitely, we ask God to protect them and their drive, because they got all that traveling to do. The interstate, as all of us do in our life. The things that is currently occurring in our life that you may not have shared with anybody, but, we're in the directory, all of us there. Utilize it. Email, phone calls, prayers for one another, talk. Yes, our group is a little light today, but we're all God's people. We're glad to be here, serving with one another. So enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.